about something that's very close to me. I want to talk about friends. I want to talk about two of my friends. But I want to include all of you in the message because these two friends recently had some contact, and through that contact, my mind was reflecting back on how long I've known one of them and how recently I met the other, and how amazingly they are connecting together, having just met themselves. I want to talk about the journey that we're on, and all of us here are on the same journey, and I want to focus our attention a little bit today on some of the things that make a difference in our life and have already and will continue to be the guiding force for us in our life. We're not alone in this journey. We're not alone in many ways. There are others who have come before us, and many of them are listed in the scriptures. We have their stories and the example, and we see how God helped them in their life. We see the struggles they went through. We have stories of how others helped them along the way, and those are very common stories to us in our faith, the things that build up our faith. But we also have friends who we know in our own lifetime, and we are on this journey together with them. I feel so blessed to be here with you because in these recent months, God has brought me and you together. And we were already on the same journey, but we just didn't know each other. It was like, if you could think of a big wagon train of people who are trying to make their way across country. And sometimes people would come from the edges and join in with this wagon train. And sometimes those in the front would be able to meet those who are in the middle of the wagon train, or the ones in the back would also begin to be part of the same journey together. And I know it's not the best analogy, but it's the one that I could come up with that would help describe what I'm talking about a little bit today. This journey began a long time ago. The first record we have of anyone actually on this journey goes all the way back to Abel in the book of Genesis. And Abel, we know, was on this journey because he's mentioned in Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter, and it speaks of those people there as being sojourners and pilgrims on the earth. It speaks of many people. And so we see that this journey is something that's been going on for all the generations of mankind. What a blessing it is for us to be part of it now, to be able to join in where others have come before. In our own lifetime, we were blessed to be able to join this caravan, if you will, this journey together. I first became aware that I was coming into this common journey in 1957. Though at the time I didn't realize it was a lifelong journey, but I began to be aware then of things that would change my life, and shortly did change my life. I know that some of you have been aware and been on this journey as long as that, and maybe longer, and perhaps some weren't even born then. I know that too. But there was a time when you joined this journey, and now we are here together, some for a long time and some for just a little while. It's important for us to realize that we're all part of it. We're all together in this. It's important that we remember that we are sojourners. You know, it's not just go to church on Saturday, go home and live the week and come back. Each week we're making progress toward our destination. Each week together we are making that progress. And no one in the history of time has ever reached the destination. But many have gone as far as is possible for us to go at this time. I want to talk about this journey. The inspiration for it came this way. I'd like you to know where the idea comes from. Why am I talking about this? It's because I have two friends. I have many friends, but the two that I want to talk about today. I have a friend that I met in 1970, and we were both teenagers, and he is now in the hospital with a terminal illness. And he's still my friend, and he's still on the journey. And this is not a sad message, and I don't want to bring sadness into it, but I want to speak of something so important. Because that friend was recently visited by another one who I just met a few months ago, and they had never met. So we had two sojourners coming together for the first time, and it was interesting. Because the friend that I have known for a long time is a very private person, very quiet, very reclusive even. And the other one was somebody who asks a lot of questions and wanted answers. And so that was kind of an interesting conversation. The point is, the reclusive friend had thoughts awaken and memories awaken of many struggles in his life. And so he spoke of those. And the gregarious friend, who was new to that one, was kind of set back by this. What is happening? How could a person think this way? I want to deal with that because something very important is here for me. Knowing what happened, because I heard it from both sides, knowing what happened, I wanted to sort my own thoughts out and bring something worthwhile to you and to thank both of those friends for helping me understand this. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 that I'll start with. And being an artist, I like to look at things from a different way sometimes than we might usually see it. And so you'll see as we go in. In Hebrews 10 and verse 32, it says this: "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated..." That is, after your mind was awakened to the fact that you're on this journey, after you became aware that God was working in your life, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. And it goes on, and we'll come back and read the rest of that. But did you catch that opening comment there? Recall the former days. I wanted to do that in a literal way. And so I wanted to look back in my life and say, when did I really become aware of this journey? I brought my 1969 high school yearbook, because this yearbook shows a picture of me at a time when I had already joined in this journey. I was graduating that year, but already I had been to camp a couple years before. My family had been attending the feast for quite some time, and I already knew that this was the path for my life. As a young man, it's also good to recall some of the things of my family. There are four of my siblings in this book as well, because this was a small school, and it went all the way down to second grade. My brother was there, first grade too, but I had siblings in the book, and I was recalling some of my early history and some of my journey. And then I looked, as I wanted to recall, having met my friend who is now in the hospital. And so I brought a book from 2 years later, and this is the Ambassador College 1971 Envoy. And pictures taken in this were taken in the fall of 1970. That's when I met my friend. And his picture is in here. And so I could look in here and I could recall this young, skinny guy who became my best friend ever and still is. And in looking through this book, I could recall some of those struggles that we went through. My friend from a long time talked of those struggles with the new friend, and that became the basis then the rest of this story. So today, let's consider three big things. Let's consider this journey we're on. And how is it that some people were able to survive the struggles? And yes, there were struggles. Some of you know that. You've been through them. You're here. How did you survive through those things and still be here and faithful, where so many others didn't? And so there are three things I want to consider. One, the thing that makes the most difference, I believe, in how we survive and come through that whole lifelong journey is we know who our guide is. We keep our eyes on the one who is our guide. And as a young boy, somehow I knew that. And I knew I wasn't just looking at men and women and organizations. I knew who the guide was, and so did you. And look, you're still here. So that's something I want to discuss. The next point I'll discuss is that we are going to a spiritual destiny, even more so than a destination, more than, as we heard even in the first message, the promised land of milk, the flowing with milk and honey. We're going to a spiritual destiny that is far greater than any of the physical destinations that would ever be on this world. And thirdly and lastly, we'll cover how much we need each other, because that's one of the important ingredients too in surviving and thriving and being on this journey together. So let's look at these, if we will. In Scripture, when we think of the great journeys, we often think of Christ bringing Israel out of Egypt, and indeed that is a very good place to start. There are lessons there for us in that great journey. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, we find that the one who was leading Israel is Jesus Christ, and that they all came through the sea, and they were all baptized in the sea and into Christ. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, and kind of set the stage. Because as we look at our journey, we see this is part of it. This is part of the journey of the people of God that began back at the time of Abel. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." This is something we should know and think about once in a while. "That all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate that same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And often Christ was following them, in the sense that he was that pillar, or in that pillar of cloud that was to shade them by day and to give them light by night. And there were times he was behind them and protecting them from the Egyptians who were coming after them at the early stages. In verse 11 it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come." They're lessons for us too. Lessons that make a difference in our lives and give us strength and courage and faith to take our journey onward as well. For each of us, it starts with a calling. My first awakening to this calling, as I said, was back in 1957. We heard a voice on the radio. It wasn't the voice that made the difference. It was the message. It was the things that we read in the scriptures. And I remember even then, having just turned 7 years old, we just had kept our last Christmas. We had just eaten the last food that we commonly had eaten before. And our life changed. And I was fine with that. And I'm going, oh, yeah, it says here, and so let's do it. And I remember that there were some things that just seemed to me to be given to me to understand, and I really appreciated that because I needed something to hang on to later when times got hard. I remember the years in high school and how I had to stand up for what I believed and how I couldn't be in the band and be the drum major they wanted. I couldn't play on the football teams because all the games were on Friday night. I had to stand up for what I believed at the time because I was following someone who was guiding me in a different direction of my life. I remember going to college and being baptized in February of 1970 and being so grateful to be there. I remember meeting my friend later that year, and he came in the fall. We had a couple of really good years there and a lot of good memories. I could see in the pages of this book some of the friends I had who still are friends. I could look here too and see some of the people that caused great harm to me and to many others. I went through turbulent times. My friend did, and that's what he was talking about with the new friend, how bad, how difficult it was from time to time as he tried to find his way on the journey. And so you, if you were here, you will remember some of those things too. All I have to do is just mention the date and you will remember the struggles. For me, it was 1972 and 73. I was to graduate in 1973. And the turbulence around me at the time was so great and so subtle that I couldn't comprehend what I was doing there. I was being taught one thing and I didn't believe it. I opened the Bible and I read and I don't see what I'm hearing. And so I was, as a young man, confused, and I left college. I dropped out of Ambassador College 3 months before graduation. And I went to Montana and found a new place to live there. There was a young minister in Montana who was, to me, a great friend. And this whole message is about helping each other. For me, it was that young minister who took me under his care and helped me through some things. I don't know if I would have even survived as a Christian. I had really decided I was going to be a hermit. I found a place I was going to buy. I was literally negotiating for a piece of land. And then I met Nancy. And my life changed again. And turbulence took me in a different direction. It was so good. But brethren, we've all been through these things, and I'm telling my story because this is from my perspective, and yours is just as important from your perspective, your journey, and who at times helped you and who you helped at times. And for me, it was one person who made a difference of whether I stayed in the church and whether I could ever serve in any way. Because when I left college, I felt I had given up everything. I didn't know if I would even gain salvation. I didn't ever expect to be able to serve in the church because I dropped out of college, you know, and back then it was a pretty big deal. But this young minister was a great friend at the right time. I hope all of you are as great a friend to someone as he was to me. You can reach out and help someone along their journey. If you look at the analogy of the wagon train, it's like sometimes the new ones come and they don't know what to do, or they're young and they're not strong enough yet. And those who are there and strong, they can say, "This is the way, walk you in it." And there are some who are older and more experienced and they know the way, and they can be the leaders, and they can help, and they can be the guides and the scouts, and they can go out and they can say, "We can't go this way because of the flooded river, but we can go this way." And so everyone can follow along and be safe. So everyone works together. There comes a time in our life when we are then stronger, and we can take the major burdens, and we can help the new and young ones who are coming along, and the old and the frail. There comes a time in our life when we're older and we can be the scouts and the leaders and the guides, always knowing that we have one guide out there first, and that is Christ. I could look at the turbulent years of 1974. Some of you will know what happened, how it affected you and your family and friends. And in 1975, when Nancy and I got married and the swirls of turbulence were good again, it was great. And in 1981, when we lost everything, we lived in the Bellevue area and had our business, and we lost everything, and we moved to Montana so that we could start over and be able then to serve in the church. I'm just recalling, as the scripture said in Hebrews, recall the former times, because I'm showing you that there's value in your story too. You can recall your former times when you were illuminated and how things changed for you over the years, because we're coming to part of the journey that we're not quite there yet. There were other years, 1994, 95, when the church as we knew it just exploded. Some of you survived that, and here you are. We saw that again in 1998. 2010, and many different changes. If we look at our journey, brethren, it's important that we see through all of these things how God, through Christ, was guiding us and helping us. Because this was never about men, never about organizations, only the church of God, only God and Christ. The things that really matter and that are good and that last, that's how we've been able to get this far in our journey, because we have a guide, Jesus Christ. And here we are in First Chronicles, the time when David was having a conversation with God, and God was telling him that he would promise that there would always be one of David's descendants to be on the throne, to carry that kingly line through. And God knew that it would be through that line that the Messiah would be born. And what did David say there? It's something so important. And I think of this often myself. I hope you will. David said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that you have brought me this far?" Look how far God had brought David. Look how far he's brought you and me. He's brought us a long way. And who are we except he loves us and is bringing us? And brethren, our journey is not so much that we're finding our way, but that God is bringing us, as he did David, as he brought Israel out of Egypt, as through Christ he is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. This journey is about God bringing us into his family, into his kingdom. If we keep our eyes on him, then we will always be able to make it through every trial. That's what it says about the people that we see in Hebrews 11, in that faith chapter. They did that. So here we are. And Christ said to his disciples in that last evening he was with them, he said, "Where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And they said, "How do we know?" Let's look and see this. In John 14, how do we know which way to go in the path of our life and our journey? In John 14, verse 4 through 6, "And where I go, you know." Now, he knew what was soon to happen, but they could hardly comprehend. And Thomas, it says in verse 5, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." How did we make it through all the turmoil, the 5-6 decades that some of us have been here? We knew who our guide was. That's how, brethren, and that's how we're going to make it forward from here. Every one of us, the young ones and the old, is by keeping our mind, our eyes on Christ. Look in Hebrews 12. We read this often. I want to read it in this context. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, here our journey is like a metaphor of a race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our eyes are, because he is the one who guides us through. Let's talk a bit about how God is bringing us to a spiritual destiny. Where are we going? When Christ said to his disciples, "You know where I'm going, and the way, you know the way." Well, where are we going? Christ is, God is through Christ bringing us into glory. How do you put a destination? How do you put that on a map? He's bringing us to glory. In Hebrews 2 and verse 10, again, a very common scripture, one we know well. Think about our destination. It's more than a destination, it is a destiny. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons, many daughters, many children to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We are being called, we heard in the first message, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. How do we make it on our journey? Is because we keep that in mind. We never worried, at least overly much, about what people did or didn't do. The truth of God was always the truth of God. His word was always what guided us. We keep our eyes on him. We keep our eyes on the goal, on the promises that were embraced by the pilgrims and strangers before us. Those listed in Hebrews 11. We embrace those promises as well. And we believe, we read from Romans 8 in the first message. Let's read some more of this as well in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. These are the goals we have, and this is what we understand. No matter how difficult the trials are, they work together for the good. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And those things help us to endure and to make it and to be on this journey at this stage of our life. Let's consider, there's more we could read about our destiny, but let's look a little bit about each other. Because I started with my two friends, that's what sparked this, the interchange they had, the friendship that deepened as a result. Knowing that Christ is our guide, and knowing that God through him is bringing us to glory, we really then need to understand that we have a responsibility to one another. We are not in this alone. This is where my two friends began to show me. Through what happened with them, I began to see and understand more deeply this part of the story. We need each other. In Romans 14, it says this. Romans 14 and verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So my goal as a young man of being a hermit and living in the Montana mountains and not having any contact with outside world unless I needed groceries once in a blue moon, that didn't happen. You know, I was on the journey already, and God says, you don't live for yourself. There are other things here to do. Other people need our attention, need our help. We need them. And I needed so much more than I ever realized then. We need each other. My friend, who's reclusive, needs other people, and he's just now learning that more deeply than before. He needed someone to come and ask him about these things so that he could express some of his frustrations over life. And so he could just let it come out and say, bad things happened and I wish they didn't. But then once they're out, he could let them go and say, but there's more to do. There's more to go. We've all been through these things, haven't we? We need friends to be able to help us through. I need you, and I hope in some way I can be a help to you. Sometimes the troubles of our lifetime come piling in, and you could be like my friend who has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's lost all control of his arms. It's a disease that takes away your ability to move your muscles at all. Some of you are probably familiar with it or know people. But it leaves the mind untouched, and he's very brilliant. And that's where God's Spirit is working, in the mind. And so none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to ourselves. But sometimes those troubles pile in and there's nothing that we seem to be able to do. That's when we need to be really strong. That's when we need to be able to help and step in. Back to Hebrews 10. This is like the section of scripture that helped me put all these things together this last couple of weeks and make a message that helps me. I hope it helps you. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But recall the former days in which you were illuminated and endured a great struggle with sufferings. So see, once in a while, it's good to recall and think, what have we been through together? How did we make it through? And where are we going? And partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. Yeah, we could read these verses. Whoever wrote Hebrews, it was probably the Apostle Paul, but he was speaking to those who had helped him and encouraged him and been there for him when he had great need. And partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains. This one reason we think it was Paul is because there were times when he was literally chained and in prison and still writing books of the Bible. And joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. It cost them their livelihoods and their treasures, if you will, the plundering of their goods in order to come to Rome sometimes and find him and help him. Some of the accounts that are there are people who stepped up in ways like that and helped Paul on his journey. And now we are helped by their example, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. See, that's the goal. Paul is saying, thank you for helping, and look where we're going. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. This is perhaps the main point for me in this whole process, because I have a friend who, unless God heals him, is dying because ALS is irreversible. I don't want him to cast away his confidence after all these years. I want him to be strong. I want him to be able to take those last steps forward. and to help others along the way too, because he still can, he still is. Some of you have been to visit him. I really appreciate that. I'm just telling you how much he appreciates it too. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We want to be able to finish that race. We want to be able to help others finish that race and that journey and not fall away at the end. We have a responsibility to each other in this way. I'm telling you this for a couple reasons. One is that I want you to know that as a pastor, I want to be there for everyone when there is a need like this. I want to be there when people need me. I want to be strong enough with God's Spirit in me, and I pray for that I can help somebody who is taking those last steps in their journey. You know, there are times we've been at someone's bedside at the very end, and sometimes even when they're in a coma and people are talking around them as though they're not even there, but I look and say, this person can probably still hear us, probably still think, and I want to tell them things that will strengthen them and let them know. And I pray to God that he will give them the understanding of his love. Even if they can't communicate with another person, that deep inside their mind there would be that faith and that love. You know, that's where we can help each other. And my friend in the hospital, he's not at that point yet. We may have months, we may have years, but I want to make sure that he's not falling aside. I want to make sure for all of us, do my part to be a scout or a guide to those who are new or those who are young or those who are old and frail, to the people of God who are on this journey with me, because other people helped me when I desperately needed that help. It says in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. And now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Oh, I don't want anyone to draw back. We don't want anyone to be discouraged and fall away. But we, it says, all of us, we who are on this journey together, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's the goal, the saving of the soul. Brethren, this journey is very interesting. It's our lifelong journey. A lot of good things happen along the way. And as we read and as we see in the scripture, there are times of struggle, and that's when we keep our mind, our eyes on the guide, Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus. It's when we keep our arms embraced fully around those promises, which is the kingdom of God, and where we help each other, where we can step up and help someone who otherwise would be stumbling. Brethren, this is what life is about. This is our calling. Sometimes we go through these trials so that we can help others. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians as we close here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. You know, we've gone through a lot. I know each of you have. Some of you are right now going through tribulation. And God comforts us. But look what he says, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's the responsibility we have. As God has helped us, I can look back on those troubles of my life and say the value of those, the lesson for me, is that I know what it feels like in many different situations, and I can help someone else and encourage them. You can too, because you've been through your troubles and God has comforted you, and so we can help. This is our journey together. Paul wrote in Romans that now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. For me, that's 59 years nearer than when I first believed. There's a verse in 1 John. Right in the middle of the verse, it says this. And to me, it's so encouraging. It says, the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Brethren, let's look at what is ahead. That true light that's on the horizon is already shining, and the darkness of this age is passing away. And our journeys together, our journey singular that we are sharing in together, is nearer the end than it ever has been, isn't it? I mean, that's a cliche, but yes, it's. We know that we are nearing the end of our journey. So let us, brethren, look to Christ, who is our guide. Let us see the promises, which is our inheritance, and let's help each other along this journey.